Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing. We are off and running, off to the races, Tuesday, June 25th, 2024, the Buckmaster Show. Just about midway through our 14th year. So that gives us 13 and a half years with our radio project, coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media campus here. Five radio stations now under one roof. This one's KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get the ball rolling. Go up to Phoenix to Arizona State University up in Tempe. And on the live line, Dr. Dennis Hoffman, director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business up at ASU, where he directs ASU's Office of the University Economist. Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Well, I'm battling that flu that we was so popular a couple of years ago. I guess it's not gone. I've got a case of COVID, Bill, but I'll manage what? Through with you today, no problem.
What? This, have you had?
After five or six vaccinations, yeah. Now I don't have a bad case.
Yeah.
One day was bad, and the rest is pretty good. This is the second time through COVID for me, but thank goodness I got the vaccinations.
Yeah, it's still around. The COVID is still
around.
Yeah.
It's around.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this state spending plan. The budget is just full of cuts to different the universities are getting cut, road plans, prison. What's your overall take on this spending plan?
Well, here's what transpired in the spring. A lot of back and forth between the Joint Legislative Budget Committee and the governor's office over revenues. Kind of a strange season in terms of data releases, that we were informed about the revenues. There were adjustments made, revenues released, adjustments made. It was a bit blurry. To really figure out what revenues were doing during the negotiations. So they both adopted a pretty, in my opinion, at least as a third party here, they both adopted a pretty conservative revenue outlook to build this budget upon. The bad news is that resulted in cuts, as everybody knows. The good news is, as we go forward, the way things look right now, the way June is stacking up, I think we're going to have a little bit more money than what they built this budget on. And that will be good, Bill, going forward, so that we won't have this overhang like we had all this year about, short budget shortfall. And so I'm hopeful that the cuts, as bad as they were, are, they're going to be a one and done kind of thing, not a series of cuts coming up. Goodness knows agencies and our universities can ill afford to take more reductions. And that's pretty much the way it stacks up. It's legitimately a tough call to figure out where revenues stand in a kind of an unusual environment right now with a challenged real estate sector, but also this series of revenue rate changes that have taken place over the last couple of years, and trying to figure out exactly what that means for the state. In terms of the budget picture, you got to throw ESAs in there and got to figure out how they're going to be paid for, because evidently the majority of the legislature did not want to make any cuts to them.
Yeah, and those ESAs, the school vouchers, we had Dr. Dave Wells, the research director at the Grand Canyon Institute, and he actually broke the story right here on our program that the these vouchers cost on an annual basis $777 million a year. So that revenue's got to come from somewhere, Dr. Hoffman.
That's right. That's right. You know, and again, I'm not a politician, but it seems to me a logical compromise here would be to means test some of these things. Our well-to-do families up in Paradise Valley here or in the foothills there, you know, they've had a pretty good last couple of years, 35 to 45% income tax cuts with the rate reductions, and if they have kids in private schools, $7,000 a kid in tuition relief. So, you know, we could kind of compromise and say, well, you got your tax cut, we're going to means test you on ESA, and so that doesn't mean, Bill, that there aren't some folks at the mid to lower income level that really benefit from ESAs. And so let's keep those benefits flowing to those that really need them. But take a look at the means of some of the other folks. It seems to be logical, but I never hear it discussed.
Yeah, and I should have pointed out, as I normally do in your intro, that you've been involved in the construction and maintenance of the tax revenue forecasting model that is used by the Executive Budget Office for the state of Arizona. You've been doing that since 1982. Do you see any kind of parallels with what we saw this year with anywhere over those many years, Dennis Hoffman?
Every year is a little different. The challenges that we face today that you don't usually face is trying to estimate not just the economy's impact on revenues, and that's tough enough coming off the pandemic, by the way, where we spent so much on taxable consumer goods, and now we're spending less on those goods and shifting back to services, so that reduces the tax take on sales tax. But then you couple that with the volatility in revenue flows that is coming from the uncertainty around what the tax cuts are actually going to bring, and it's a challenge, Bill. It's definitely a challenge. There's a lot of interest in revenues from all sides, and you know, people have their own analyses, and we go at it quite a bit over the winter and in spring months, and in trying to figure out where we're going to be and who's making the most logical, fact-based supported revenue forecast. And so it is an interesting process.
You said that the tax revenues are looking a little more encouraging than maybe the lawmakers had thought.
Right. I would argue that that's the case. We had estimates that were kind of coming into line in, say, end of March, early April. And there was we're getting close to an agreement, I think, on some reasonable estimates. And then we got some bad news on refunds, and we got some disappointing flows for a few weeks right at the critical time. And they decided to bargain on a lower revenue scenario, maybe not as low as it could have been, but we bargained. I think they bargained on a lower revenue scenario. And then, of course, as luck would have it, revenue seems to have ticked up a little bit. But who knows? What we've been dealing with, Bill, is we think we know what revenues are going to be through the month, and then the last couple of days, for whatever reason, there's major adjustments that take place in the accounting systems, and money is here today and gone tomorrow, if you follow me. It's it's a real challenge. You think you're feeling pretty good on a revenue scenario, and you go to the computer the next morning and it's gone. It's been adjusted away. And so, this is not nefarious. This is not anybody, pulling a fast one. This is just simply what we really need to do is just wait and settle it down until the numbers come in and they're properly, you know, revenues are properly counted and booked. And but of course, the forecaster, we don't want to wait. We want to see where we are and where we stand on a daily basis. So it just is what it is.
It's a very fluid situation, to say the least. I hope you feel better. Sounds like you're kind of on the mend there. And you said,
I'm sorry to cough in your face.
No. And you said this is more like kind of what you would think of a seasonal cold. Is that kind of what COVID sort of evolved in?
Not to belabor the point, but for those people out there that had COVID, the first day of what I had was very much COVID. The same thing I had the first time I had it when I had it for days on end.
Wow.
But the second day, and I think it's because of the vaccinations, the second and third days, I was in recovery mode really pretty quickly. No fever, and I have a slight cough and a stuffy nose now, and I'm on day four now.
Okay, good.
Day five.
Whatever. All right. Dennis Hoffman, always.
At any rate, you stay well, and best to everybody in Tucson, and enjoy the early onset of the monsoon. It's wonderful.
We had 3 inches of rain up at our place at the Buckmaster Bungalow in 90 minutes on Saturday, so that I can't ever recall that. Can't recall that in 36 years here in town. But anyway, Dennis Hoffman, hope you feel better, and we'll talk to you in a month or so. Thank you, sir.
Bill, thank you.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Shelley Fishman waiting in the wings. Shelley got a wavering thumb. That means a little bit up, a little bit down. Talk about fluid. That's kind of the way the markets have been. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And let's welcome now back to the Buckmaster Show, Shelly Fishman. The markets seem to be going in a kind of a circle, Shelly Fishman.
Yeah, you know, we get a good day on the Dow and a bad day on the S&P, and it flips. And that's what's happened. Our Dow is down a couple of hundred points today, but the S&P and the NASDAQ are up a couple hundred. Well, the NASDAQ is up a couple of hundred points, and the S&P is up about 0.4%.
So if you're invested in both, you're probably not going to see a lot of movement.
Well, we're close to record highs in all of these indices.
Yes.
So even though the market over the past couple of weeks has not shown a distinct direction,
right,
largely because investors just don't know what's going to happen with interest rates, the market in general has taken a position that the economy is in good shape. It is the envy of the world. It is the place to invest. And they're looking forward to more investments as interest rates come down. So that's why we're seeing, I know, some adjustments, especially in the Dow, because the Dow is overbought right now. The price-to-earnings ratios are higher than they probably can be sustained at. But, no, look, we all want it to be up and to the right. Mm-hmm. You know, every day, let's have a little bit more. It's never that way. But we are going to, if this continues, we will end the year, assuming nothing untoward happens, with about a 12% gain in the S&P, a much higher gain than that in the NASDAQ, and who knows what's going to happen with the Dow.
Well, we'll get a good bump when we finally get an interest rate
deduction. Absolutely.
But that will all be factored in, I'm sure. So, you know, no one talks anymore, it seems, about the national debt,
they?
That used to be such a popular political discussion point in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Well, you know, as you were growing up, as I was growing up, the drone from the right, from the Republicans, was tax and spend Democrats. You know, that's really bad what they do. We need to get our budget in balance. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to cut spending.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were doing is really working on the demand side of things. And the Democrats were saying, now we need to raise taxes because we've got all these things we want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats, in fact, did a bunch of spending. But we never did get those tax increases. In fact, all we got starting really in the 70s was tax cuts. And then what Reagan did was cut taxes. And then what Clinton did was raise them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had, you know, fairly significant deficits during the 80s. And then we actually had a couple of years of balanced budgets during the 90s. And then, you know, we got into the Bush years in 2000, 2001, and the first thing he did was cut taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? You get two recessions during the Bush years.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Obama comes in and now he's got this huge recession that he's got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Actually gets it under control. We are at that point increasing deficits. And what does Trump do when he gets in? Cuts taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? The deficit just shoots up.
Well, look what happened here in Arizona, what we were just talking about with Dr. Dennis Hoffman. Governor Ducey cut taxes.
Right. So all we're doing is backwards. What we should be doing is figuring out what the society needs to be spending money on and then adjusting tax rates to fund
programs.
Now, if interest rates are down at zero, you can borrow all you want because you never pay it back. But interest rates don't stay at zero forever.
No, they don't.
And so is it a problem? The correct answer to the question, are deficits a problem, is we don't know. Because every time we say that it's a problem, the economy keeps on chugging right along, and the stock market keeps chugging right along, and the economy grows. And so we scratch our heads and say something's wrong that we don't understand here. And then, you know, the deficit shoots up again, and we say, we don't know. However, what, you know, some of the numbers that have come out recently, Bill,
How many trillions of trillions?
From the Congressional Budget Office.
So many trillions.
Yeah. Okay. $1 million
is a
lot of money.
Yeah.
$1 trillion is a statistic.
Yeah.
You know, you can relate to $1 million or, you know, several hundred
maybe
thousand.
Maybe even a billion.
It gets harder and harder as the number goes up. But what the Congressional Budget Office just said is based upon their latest calculations. In 10 years, so by 2034, we will likely have a $56 trillion with a T dollar debt, total debt. Now, what does that mean? You know, what is the GDP going to be in 2034? And so we work a ratio called the debt to GDP ratio, and what we're seeing is right now that number is at around 97% or 98%. If the Congressional Budget Office is correct, in 2034, that number may have shot up to about 122%. So for one of the few times in our history, we will have a debt that is greater than the annual output of goods and services. Now, is that an arbitrary measurement? You bet it is. Do we know that that is going to be enough to cause our economy to slow down or go into recession or have high inflation? We don't know because, quite frankly, we have no history that would show that as we increase that amount of debt as a percentage of GDP, that anything bad happens. It happened in 1980 to 1984, 1985. We went into some severe deficits as Reagan cut taxes. And then he backed off from those tax cuts. And guess what? Things got better again. You know, the famous H.W. Bush line, no, read my lips, no new taxes. And what did he do? He raised taxes. So much of this is political rhetoric. And what we're not doing is looking at what does the society think is worthwhile to be spending money on and then setting tax rates to create enough revenue or almost enough revenue to pay those bills. Now, that's what other countries do, what other industrialized countries have to do, because they don't have the world's standard currency. We have the world's standard currency, and therefore the rules don't apply or don't seem to apply. And so to say that what we're doing from a borrowing perspective is irresponsible, you know, has more of a political impact than a provable economic impact. Now, do I think we should be borrowing that much money and not figuring out how we're going to pay it back? No, I don't. I mean, I think, you know, at some point, the numbers do get scary, but I don't know what that point is. And in fact, nobody really does.
We had a listener who wanted me to ask you about Reagan. This listener says, ask Mr. Fishman about when Reagan cut taxes, didn't federal revenues go up?
No, that's voodoo economics. Okay, that's the voodoo economics that H.W. Bush, as his vice president, was talking about. No, we never saw that. That Laffer curve didn't happen. When Reagan cut taxes, revenues didn't go up until he started raising them again. And so now that's not all a function of what he did with tax revenues, but there is absolutely no evidence to suggest that when you cut taxes, revenues go up. In fact, the opposite is true. I'm trying to remember the guy who was the bureau chief at the Washington Post for years. He confronted the Republican House leader about those numbers, because what he did is he did a study for like 30 or 40 years, and it showed every time you cut revenues, you cut taxes, revenues actually went down. So it was the opposite of what the Laffer curve would lead you to believe. I'm sorry that I disagree with the person who just sent that email, but if you take a look at the numbers, that kind of theory just hasn't panned out. In fact, Laffer himself was on a show, and I'm going back a couple of years now, and he said, but when Clinton was balancing the budget back in 1996, 1997, that proved I was right. And I'm scratching my head and saying, wait a second, that's, a decade or more later, and there had been several tax increases in the interim. So I don't know what he was talking about.
All right, Shelley, I hope you have a great week. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the question.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show here, midway point of our Tuesday edition. This portion of our program presented by our friends over at Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners there, hands-on owners. They have done just a beautiful job with their 13-acre property over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. This is the perfect time now to start your summer gardening, putting in some plants that are going to do well with some of the heat. And we know certainly the moisture is going to be there. At least it was Saturday afternoon for 90 minutes up at the Buckmaster Bungalow, where we had just over 3 inches of rain in an hour and a half. Pretty incredible. But that's the way it seems to be going with these monsoons. Last summer, our first monsoon up at our place was so destructive, lost a bunch of trees. But anyway, go buy Green Things. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business is zocalovillage.com. Wonderful imported items, many beautiful things from Mexico, their Talavera pottery. They've got beautiful pottery that comes all the way from the Greek Isles. There's Jan and Jack source some of these beautiful things. ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Regina Romero. Regina was elected in 2019 to be the mayor. Regina previously served on the Tucson City Council for, Regina, was it almost 20 years?
I am headed to my 17th year as a public servant for the citizens of Tucson.
And you're, of course, the first woman and first person of Mexican descent to hold the office of Tucson's mayor. I guess that goes all the way back to the 1870s.
So yes.
That's pretty darn historic. So anyway, we were just talking with our friend up at ASU, Dr. Dennis Hoffman, who does a lot of the revenue projecting for the state of Arizona. These budget cuts look almost page after page of this budget, things being budgeted out, water programs.
Very unfortunate.
There were some prison programs that have been very successful about helping people who have been incarcerated re-enter into society, but on and on it goes. And I wonder, how is that going to impact the city?
Well, thank you so much for having me at your show, Bill. I really enjoy it all the time. You always get to the really important questions first. So, you know, thank goodness and thanks to our new city manager, Tim Tenier, and our outgoing city manager, Mike Ortega, who left us in an incredibly positive financial situation at the city of Tucson.
Yeah, Mike did a lot of magic with the numbers, didn't he?
Well, and his work with the mayor and council, thanks to that work, which took years, by the way, to be in an incredibly financial place, including good rating from the rating agencies and absolutely a topped out rainy day fund. We should be in a place where we're reaping the benefits of how good the economy has been the last 3 years. But no thanks to, really, this goes back to Governor Doug Ducey and the Republican state legislature that passed a flat tax that cities are seeing how devastating that flat tax passage has become. And this is no, mind you, this flat tax was not being asked by anyone. It was their idea to give, and the beneficiaries of a flat tax are those that make the most money. And so no thanks to Doug Ducey and the Republicans in the state legislature, the city of Tucson is seeing a $24 million deficit. Not because the economy is in shambles, but because of the flat tax. It's directly correlated to that. And what happens, Bill, is that the city has to make up for the boondoggle that the Republicans in the state legislature have given the richest corporations and the richest people in our state. And what happens? Because we don't have $24 million, and by the way, next year it's going to be $40 million mm-hmm. in the hole, mm-hmm. thanks to them. It affects how much we pay our police officers and firefighters. It affects
and trying to recruit them is harder than if they're not getting.
And we've
pay.
Done an incredible yeah. job bringing historic raises to our public safety folks and our city of Tucson employees. It affects how we cover the maintenance of our roads, the maintenance of our parks. It is going to affect every service delivery that we have that improves the quality of life for our residents. So they are touting, oh, we're cutting taxes, but they're putting it on the shoulders of cities. And so what do we have to do? How can we continue providing the services and the quality of life that Tucsonans deserve?
You just came back from Kansas City. You were attending the conference of all the mayors pretty much several thousand, right?
Yes,
we're at the annual meeting.
We were at the annual summer meeting mm-hmm. in beautiful Kansas City, mm-hmm. Missouri, and more than 250 mayors attended the conference. And we have an opportunity as mayors. There's only one mayor in mm-hmm. each city, mm-hmm. so we have an opportunity
compare
and share. Best practices for programs and financing. We talked everything from unsheltered homelessness to affordable housing
economic development. Problems, right? You know, we're dealing with the unsheltered population. And of course, I'm sure the mayors were talking about public safety, huge issue, and how
yes.
they're handling it. Some cities are trying to get innovative ways to hire more police officers because
right.
there's a shortage.
Well, we also have an opportunity at the U.S. Conference of Mayors to meet one-on-one with federal agencies mm-hmm. to talk about the projects that we have submitted to them. And as you well know, Bill, I have been very aggressive as Tucson's mayor to go after federal funds that are available so that we can bring home our federal investments. And so we've had incredible partnership with our senators and our congressional delegation so that they bring back these funds. And so we have an opportunity to meet one-on-one with President Biden's domestic policy advisor to talk about affordable housing and talk about the programs that we're doing and how we're correlating a layered approach to community investment where we're tackling high gun violence and crime at the same time that we're tackling community safety, health, and wellness. We're tackling layering investments from infrastructure to workforce development and creating opportunities and hope for the young people that live in our lowest income areas in our city, and yet reducing gun violence and reducing crime by 75% in some areas.
But there are some in the community, Mayor, that think the narrative is that this is such a very unsafe city.
Well, they're not going on facts, right? So wherever they're collecting their information, they're not factual information. And unfortunately, that's the tone of politics nowadays, that people just lie or get misinformation and assume and do not go based on facts. And when I talk, I stick strictly to facts. And so
and what does Chief Kazmar tell you about crime?
We are lowering our crime here in the city of Tucson by 30%. And a holistic approach, all hands on deck approach to community safety is working for us. And Chief Casmore 100% believes in putting the right work in the right hands. And so he's an incredible partner to me as my as a mayor. And we're tackling this together. And Tim Tamir, Mike Ortega, and Tim Tamir have been, we're all holding hands. And every single department is working for the benefit of our community safety. Because if you think about it, Bill, for decades, for generations, we put so much responsibility on the shoulders of police officers. That is not fair for us to expect a police officer to be a clinical psychologist to a person that calls that is having psychosis, mm-hmm. or being a domestic violence counselor when mm-hmm. a person is calling on a domestic violence case. We need to be able to put the right work in the right hands, and creating the 311 system.
Is that working?
It is absolutely diverting non-emergency calls.
So police can answer.
And not only that, but police and fire can answer the emergency calls, and community safety officers and other departments can answer the non-emergency calls. And that is a program that I help fund, the 311 number mm-hmm. in the city of Tucson, and work with Chief Casmore, Chief Ryan, and Sharon McDonough, our 911 director, along with our city manager and my colleagues on the council, to explore this. And it is really absolutely working. And it is, there is evidence of the success that we're having with it.
All right, we're going to pause right here. More with Mayor Regina Romero. It's the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. We will be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter.
please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We send so many of our listeners over to cooler climes like Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That's an easy sell, I'm telling you. All I need to say is Silver City's at 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. So you know it's going to be cooler. And we like to say about 10 degrees cooler on average over in Silver City. And what is it over there right now? Lower 90s. Perfect. So, yeah, it's about 10 degrees cooler over there. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, and it's a neat place. A lot of my listeners come back and say, Bill, thanks for talking about it and sending us over to kind of an area. A lot of people have lived in Tucson all their life, had not been over there, and it's a great getaway, great weekend getaway over to the southwest corner of the land of enchantment. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our conversation with the mayor of the city of Tucson, Rahina Romero, who's just back from Kansas City and the semi-annual, conference of mayors. I do want to talk about the transportation issue, Mayor Romero. We had General Maxwell, Ted Maxwell, and Ted wears so many hats, and he wears them all well. On it goes. I mean, he's the representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Board because he is the Pima County representative on the Arizona Transportation Department Board, and of course, he heads up the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and very active in community affairs. And he was my guest yesterday, and he's trying very hard to kind of get everybody together on this RTA Next program. And he's trying especially hard to get the city of Tucson its fair share.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure to work much closer to Ted Maxwell and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and try and find solutions for the disagreements that we have had on the PAG and RTA. And mostly when I became mayor, I wanted to make sure that the city of Tucson is getting its fair share from both the first RTA and RTA Next. And what we're laser focused, and this is in partnership with our new city manager, Tim Timur, Sam Creedy, our Department of Transportation and Mobility, and all of the City of Tucson executive leadership team, is that our laser focus should be to deliver the first RTA projects to the voters of Tucson. Mm-hmm. And there is a list of more than 7 projects that we need to make sure that we find answers to deliver.
Those would be front-loaded in a new plan. Your hope, right?
Yes. And that's been an acceptable
point
at the RTA board. What we still have to find answers for are the 7 projects that are not front-loaded in the RTA Next, and that should be built before we figure out the RTA Next. And there's still some questions that we have about additional those projects that we haven't received answers for. But look, I absolutely believe in a regional approach to investing in our infrastructure. It's very important. I understand what it means to the economy. I understand what it means for the transportation networks in all of our, in Pima County, in Southern Arizona, and in all of our city and the towns that surround Tucson. But I also understand that my job as the mayor of Tucson is to make sure that we have a good return on investment and that the sales taxes that are put in by our citizens in Tucson, that there's a fair return.
Yeah.
And so
Are you getting closer to that point?
I
that fair
don't
return?
Feel as confident. I mean, I know that the RTA next, we're getting to a good place, right? Mm-hmm. That there's finally a realization that there has to be a good return on investment for the citizens of Tucson to even vote mm-hmm. for an RTA next. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very difficult to get there, to be honest with you. And, you know, the city of Tucson has done gymnastics to try and be rational and make, you know, take steps towards the middle. And so we'll see. We'll see. I'm hopeful. I understand how important it is. And again, like I said, the city of Tucson is laser focused in finding the path towards making sure that the first RTA and its projects are fully funded and have a way and a strategy to construct them.
Time is running out, though.
It is. It is.
On this RTA next.
But we as a community, it's 2026 when they expire. We need to be in a good place. And everyone at the table needs to feel as though we are putting our part on the table and getting a fair return. So
meanwhile, there's the city, work is going on. There was this plan, I guess it's 10 years, every street will get attention, right?
Yes, Proposition 411.
Is that underway?
The citizens of Tucson voted overwhelmingly. 73% of voters voted for Proposition 411, which is a 10-year investment plan that will take care of, in one way, shape, or form, our residential roads. That was something that we needed to work on as a community. And then we're also putting infrastructure to make sure that our pedestrians and our bicyclists are well protected. City of Tucson, that we've seen recently, is one of the most dangerous cities for pedestrians and bicyclists. And so we want to make sure that we don't make that top 10 list in the future by putting infrastructure that will protect pedestrians and bicyclists.
Because Tucson has prided itself for decades on being a bicycle-friendly
city. Right.
But then we see these dangers. So, you know, it's kind of this mixed message.
And by the way, it's not just the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. It is the metropolitan area, which means that the entire Pima County is counted on that danger list. So it's the Tucson metropolitan area. And some, you know, say, well, they point the finger at the city. No, it's the entire metropolitan area, which includes Marana, Oro Valley, and Sahuarita, and unincorporated Pima County.
All right, we're in the summertime. How are we going to get through the summer?
Well, the wonderful thing is that the monsoon started.
Yes, that is good news. but we are on the front line of climate change. There are still some that deny that there is such a thing, but there is.
Well, climate change is real, and those that still deny it are not believing their own eyes, right? It's happening in front of our very eyes, where last year we had one of the hottest months recorded in the world, in the history of the world. And so Tucson and Phoenix are one of the fastest warming cities in the country. And as a mayor, I need to think about the safety and security of our city, but also how do we continue to thrive? How does our economy continue? And we created a climate action plan. We created an implementation plan. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration, we've got millions of dollars in grants to be able to implement our plan and try a nature-based solution, plant our trees. We just recently
We have these cooling centers, too.
We are creating a, heat resiliency and mitigation strategy that we just passed as a mayor and council. And so we are moving fast and furiously to mitigate and adapt to a changing climate in Tucson, and we're receiving the federal funds to make it happen.
All right, Mayor, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate your inviting me.
Thank you very much. That's going to do it on behalf of Mayor and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.